Hello, Hugh. I hope you're doing well, my friend, and Billy, too. Please give her my regards. I mentioned I was going to send you this story, and, no push from me to use it, because I've been thinking a lot about this. I hope you could use it, and feel free to edit it any way you want to. It may be too long. If you need to fit it some way, it's perfectly okay. But then I realized the real reason I'm sending it to you is I wanted you to hear it because of what you said in your letter to me about when things don't go as we expect, we get impatient, and that's why I feel the way I do about this story. I have quite a bit of regret that I was not more patient. So here it is. The Horse Trailer with the Broken Heart. Man, that sounds like the title of a hit country song, doesn't it? The Horse Trailer with the Broken Heart. At one time, I was pretty much a world-class expert at trailer loading a horse, at least in my own mind. And one of my closest friends taught me I didn't know quite as much about that subject as I thought. The Blue Man has been with me for years. I loved that steel gray Oto colt the moment I watched his mama lay him on the earth. We made our first eye contact when he was minutes old. I loved him, and I'll always believe he feels the same way about me. He was never afraid of his papa, always sought my attention with constant playing and pranks. My roping glove was never safe in the back pocket of my jeans. Creeping like a kitten, he would sneak up behind me and snatch that glove away and run like crazy across the pasture with that glove clenched in his teeth in a death grip, and I swear you could hear him laughing. He was 4 months old the first time I asked him to get in the trailer. I stood just inside the doorway with the feed bucket in my hand, with Baby Blue, looking sharp in his baby halter, standing just outside. I said, "If you will put 1 foot on this trailer floor, I'll give you a bite of this feed." And Blue looked at me and said, "Are you kidding, Pop? I want the whole bucket." And he almost knocked me down. I couldn't get him out of that trailer until he devoured every bite. And Blue always did that, and jumped in the trailer like a trained house cat. He loved to go down the road, and he loved to rope for 12 years. Can you imagine how I felt one dark day when Blue said, "I don't want to go in the trailer anymore, Pop, and I'm not going in." "What?" "I'm not going in a trailer, Pop, and you can't make me. I won't do it." And he would not. Have you ever been in a valley so low? This will seem silly to those outside the horse world. Mentally healthy people drive me crazy. But I felt betrayed. I couldn't breathe. The Blue Man wasn't going with his papa? Say it ain't so. And day after day passed, and Blue wouldn't go in the trailer. Several of my roping buddies tried to console me. They said, "Well, it's obvious, McGill. Blue's just sick and tired of being ridden by a mediocre roper." Good grief. I was severely injured in a roping accident about this time. Actually, Shine was tied to a gate before the roping started when something scared him. He pulled the gate back and it fell on me and cracked my pelvis. I don't tell anybody. I really got hurt before the roping ever started. The injury prevented me from working with Blue regarding that trailer problem, and day after day, I sit there staring out at him while I was convalescing, wondering what on earth had happened to the person inside him I loved so. The injury finally healed, and the new year came, and I took Blue to the trailer, hoping that problem would disappear as mysteriously as it had come. Along the way, I said some sort of prayer I can't remember. And I led Blue to the rear entry door. He looked inside and turned to me and said, "I'm still not going in, Pop. No way, Jose." The saddest of times. So I did what I always do when visibility in life is low. I started asking people I love and trust what they thought about all this. And the responses were varied, all from old tough cowboys who are not mean, but, well, you know, tough and pretty ugly. And Bronx said, "You need to get him in the trailer, Michael. You don't have to get mad or be mean, but, you know, you need to get him in that trailer." And Kenneth said, "You probably don't want to hear this, but this can't continue, Michael. Offer him the trailer. If he doesn't choose to go in, make him work. Have him lope in circles, back him up. Make him work, always offering rest if he chooses to go in. And Jerry, the roughest and toughest of the bunch, said, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't get rough with Blue. And that surprised me. The Lord made this guy out of saddle leather and steel. You wouldn't? I said. Why not? I don't know, he said. My grandfather raised me, and when I misbehaved, if he spanked me, I didn't act a bit better. I just acted out. But if he talked to me and explained why he was worried and how he loved me, I would get my behavior to change for the better. And an old cowboy who lived down the road from me said, no, no, don't get on Blue for this, Michael. Don't fuss at him. But what do? I asked him. He thought for a time, and he said, I don't know. Use all that love you have for him. My wife, Sherry, said, I know you're going to be surprised, but I agree with those fellows who said we need to get Blue in that trailer, whatever it takes. What? I said, I can't believe that. You're the softest person I know. Well, just think about it a minute, she said. What if we have a fire or a flood here on this property? What if Blue suffers some severe cut, God forbid, slashes his chest open on a piece of wire? We can't take him to save his life at the vet's office because we didn't want to go through the unpleasantness of making him get in the trailer a month earlier? If our grandkids wouldn't get in the car and go to safety, I would put them in there because I want them to stay alive, just like I do Blue. We need to get him in that trailer. I don't know what you think, but I think everyone has a good point here. I really do. So, what to do about Blue? I thought some more. Sadness was oppressive. It filled my heart. Visibility in life was still low. The only thing I knew for certain was I just might have come up with yet another title for a hit country song. What are we going to do about Blue? Okay, that ends. No, sorry, Hugh. I'll do this, and you might want to do it if you decide you'll use this, like this. What will Michael do? Is this it? Is this the end? Will the legendary duo of Miguel and the Blue Man drift into the mist of the past? Are their roping days over? No more wine and roses at ropings? Is this the last of the grilled chicken tacos cooked under the trees outside the arena at night after the rodeo? Will Blue retire? Will one of the song titles top the country charts? And will the horse trailer die of a broken heart? Tune in next week for the dramatic conclusion to learn if the Blue Man will ever load in the trailer again. Here comes part two. The horse trailer with the broken heart, part two. When we last left Michael, he was sitting in the trailer with his head in his hands, wondering if Blue would ever load again. He was at that place in life where we all are sometimes, when we're on the edge of the precipice, certainly not wanting to jump off, but wondering if there's any other option. I'm staring at Blue and he's staring at me. We're at the back door of the trailer, nothing on him but his halter. I'm sitting on the floor of the trailer facing him with my feet on the ground. He's in front of me, staring back. His head is low, even with mine, about a foot away, and we're staring, looking for all the world just like Clint Eastwood and Lee Van Cleef in one of those old spaghetti westerns. Standoff. We've been out here for days. Well, not straight, actually. While it has been days, it's been more like 3 or 4 hours most days. I'm over the flag-waving, put-pressure-on-him, rope-around-his-butt thing to get him to load. Nothing is working. And my heart is filled with negative certainty that nothing is going to work. Would you go in the trailer? I ask him again. And Blue looked away. Where to turn? What to do? Mystery. And then this thought comes. Why won't he go in the trailer? The little voice says. What? Why won't he go in the trailer? Why don't you ask him? Why won't you go in the trailer, Blue? I ask him, realizing I had never stopped long enough to think about or even consider that question. And to my surprise, Blue said, Well, I'll tell you, Pop, it was a mouse. A mouse scared me. Or maybe it was a hornet. Or maybe it was a grass snake in a trailer one day. Or maybe it was because you stopped too quick when we was riding down a road and I bumped my nose. Or you took a curve too fast and it scared me. Or maybe you didn't cool me down enough after working and I had a cramp.
Well, that didn't do me any good at all, I said in frustration to the voice.
Yes, it did,
said the voice.
Asking that caused you to think about why.
I still can't load blue, I said.
You never could, said the voice.
What? Of course I could. I loaded him for 12 years.
You did not. You never loaded him in your life or in his, and you still can't.
So what do I do now?
Sit down, said the voice. Take a load off. Be still. Think.
So sitting on that trailer floor, staring at blue, I began to think. And I thought about, when the horse won't load, we all do the same thing. We get nervous. Our mind turns to fear that we might be late for our event. Even if the event is over and the horse won't load, we get in a hurry because we might be late getting home. The moment we see the horse failing to load, we get in a hurry. We need to load that horse right now. And that creates resistance. But thank goodness there's always someone there who knows how. He lives in every town and he has many names. In my town, his name is Mad Dog. I like Mad. He's my neighbor. I think he means well. But the problem is Mad Dog knows everything under the stars. He knows about politics, the local school board, lake levels, what America ought to do in the Middle East, and everything else. And most of all, he knows how to load a horse. When our horse won't load, Mad Dog is always around, and he takes command immediately.
Okay, now, he says in a loud voice. I'll take that horse up there by the trailer, and all of you get behind him. All right, now start walking there toward him. That's it. Put some pressure on him there. Harold Wayne, pop him on the butt there with that quirt if he won't go in. We have to load him right now, because if he don't load right now, he won't ever go in the trailer again until the Lord himself comes back to take us all home. A horse will learn he doesn't have to do what we say, and we surely don't want him to learn that.
Then everybody begins marching forward toward the horse like a platoon of Roman soldiers, and we have a 30 to 45 minute fight with the horse. Once done, if we get done, everybody is sweaty, nervous, and mad, and we know the maddest one of all, the horse. Of course, the reason I know so much about all this is because I've done all those things more than anybody. I've used pressure, force, rope around the butt, paddles with rattles, sticks, quirts, yelling, waving arms, and whacking with a rope countless times. But on this day, I continued to wonder, why did I ever do all that? And the thought came again, why was Blue doing what he was doing? Why would a horse do something so willingly for over a decade and then suddenly refuse to do it? And I kept sitting there on that trailer floor thinking, and I became aware of the strangest thing. I was no longer focused on loading Blue. And I began to see I had never loaded Blue, never in my life. Blue always loaded himself. Let's go to the barn, Blue, I said to him. Once there, I filled the bucket with feed, and back to the trailer we went. Standing, staring, and I said, Blue man, if you'll put one foot on this trailer floor, Pop will give you a bite of feed. For 27 minutes, Blue stood still as a stone, still as a shot duck. I knew he was coming. I knew it in the bottom of my souls and the bottom of my soul. For the whole time, I knew he was coming. How? Why? Because I stopped trying to load him, and I made sure he wasn't afraid. Like I did a long time ago. I gave him all the time in the world, and I just wanted him to know that I loved him. And Blue said, after 27 minutes, are you kidding, Pop? I want the whole bucket. And then my precious Blue walked up in the trailer with me. It took me days and days to resolve that. I could have done it in 27 minutes. That's how long Blue needed. I just forgot what Paul said. Love is the greatest of these. And a bucket of feed doesn't hurt a thing. And that's the story of the horse trailer with a broken heart.